The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is your source for breaking news
and what to make of it all.
This is the Mike Gallagher Show.
Sandy Cortez says that despite the fact she's in therapy for an insurrection she wasn't at, if you're worried about getting killed in our increasingly dangerous cities, you're the one who's hysterical.
I also want to make sure that this doesn't drive a hysteria and that we look at these numbers in context so that we can make responsible decisions.
One thing I like about her, she's as predictable as a champagne hangover.
No. From the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike Gallagher.
That fascinates me, the whole idea of mental illness or people who need therapy because of an event like January 6th, as you heard on Tucker Carlson's show, referring to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez needing therapy because of the events of January 6th. And I don't want to mock therapy. I've been to a therapist over the years. I encourage therapy. Nothing wrong with that. But I wonder what you make of this Pew survey that was released. And I can't get this out of my head. Over 50% of liberal white women under the age of 30 have a mental health issue. Let me repeat that. According to a Pew Research study just released, over 50% of liberal white women under the age of 30 have a mental health issue. Now, I was reading an article at EV Magazine, evmagazine.com. They write, it's a common tactic of the politically charged on either side, and normally perceived as a cheap one at that, to take the particular adherence of an ideology and equate that diehard worship to mental illness. Conservatives label younger liberal generations as snowflakes or as having Trump derangement syndrome if they didn't like Trump. Liberals and progressives label right-leaning individuals or conservatives as racists, bigots, misogynists, etc. Resorting to this type of lowbrow behavior might once have been seen as an excuse not to address the actual issues or beliefs at hand, but now ad hominem attacks are more common than not. And I think that's fair. I try real hard every day, despite my obvious political ideology and my beliefs about the world, I always try to put myself in the other person's shoes. I want to know where somebody else is coming from. I truly try to at least see through their eyes. But Elizabeth Condra over at EV Magazine asks, what if what was once a cheap shot or a personal insult has actually been found to bear scientific correlation between the individuals who hold progressive ideologies and an increased risk of mental illness? That's exactly what Pew Research has found. The shocking diagnosis that over 50% of liberal women with some form of mental health medical diagnosis is a public health concern that no one seems to be discussing, let alone taking seriously. Women are 40% more likely to develop depression than men. Due to lower levels of serotonin, she says, we're more likely to have anxiety and depression. I mean, but what about choices we actively engage in, the beliefs and convictions we hold? Well, here's what the study found. Now, this is Pew Research. This is not from Fox News or National Review or Town Hall or some ideologically driven entity, Pew Research. The study examined white liberals, moderates, and conservatives, both male and female. It found that conservatives are far less likely to be diagnosed with mental health issues than those who identify as either liberal or even very liberal. Let me repeat that. The Pew study found that conservatives are far less likely to be diagnosed with mental health issues than those who identified as either liberal or even very liberal. I mean, I'm not trying to just go into the gutter here, but when I get frustrated on this radio show and you hear me say they're crazy, they're nuts, maybe I'm right. Maybe the data is backing this up. Progressivism is an ideology that supposedly demands equality for all and one that keeps score to an exhausting degree, she writes. It's a good article, by the way. We'll post it at MikeOnline.com from Evie Magazine. The privilege between social classes, between races, between men and women, between religious and non-religious, all have to be constantly monitored, and inequality has to be exposed for the purposes of accountability. I mean, I've got friends in the theater community, for example. Broadway's about to reopen. Do you know that there are actually people who have quit their jobs, starring roles on Broadway, and they've quit because of George Floyd's death? Now, you could say that's somebody who's really woke, or maybe you could say that's somebody who faces a mental health challenge. If you're going to quit your job because you don't feel safe in an environment that I can say with a lot of confidence is extremely progressive, amazingly inclusive, and shockingly diverse, i.e. Hamilton, no white actors are allowed to play the roles of white historic figures in the Broadway production of Hamilton. They only cast people of color. And yet that's a community where people have quit because they were so traumatized by George Floyd's death in Minneapolis, and they don't think they can go on. They can't be in that environment. They don't feel safe. They don't feel safe if they're even working with people who might have views slightly different than theirs. They're quitting. Is that mental illness? I mean, this is a difficult conversation. But I wonder if this is true, and if the Pew, I'm really, really fascinated by this. If this Pew Research study is right, that conservatives are far less likely to be diagnosed with mental health issues than those who identify as either liberal or very liberal, do you think, Michael Savage years ago wrote a book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, as the name of his book. Do you think there's some merit to this? 1-800-655-MIKE. Let's see clearly on this, because it's a tough issue. But maybe it's time to talk openly about the potential for the crazy, radical, off-the-charts ideology of the far left. Could it be that they're just mentally ill? That they have a mental health problem? And it's time to talk about it? I hope you join me. Let's get your reaction to this Evie Magazine article and this analysis that reacts to the Pew Research study, which shows that liberals are far more likely to have mental health challenges than conservatives. Do you think it's right? Do you think it's true? 1-800-655-MIKE. We're in the ReliefFactor.com studios. Got a lot to cover this hour. This Monday, we're here. It's a Monday, July the 12th, 2021. I hope you join us. 1-800-655-MIKE. 800-655-6453. Do we have ideological differences with radicals and the progressive left? Or is it just stability, mental health stability versus instability? Do you take this Pew Research study seriously? Let's dive in. 1-800-655-MIKE. Hope you join me.
Be sure to get the Mike Gallagher Show podcast at MikeOnline.com.
I bet you've seen Pete and Seth Talbot on the TV, the father and son owners of Relief Factor. Boy, are they great guys. They have a heart for the hurting. They just want to get you out of pain. They also do a whole lot of things behind the scenes that you'll never hear of. In fact, let me share with you a little secret. The 1995 quick start that I always tell you about, where you could try the product, the 100% drug-free Relief Factor for 3 weeks for $19.95, they lose money on that deal. But they know you're probably going to keep ordering because it does work, and they want to prove it to you. Relief Factor is made from wild-caught fish oils and botanicals. It goes to work on the inflammation that causes back pain or neck pain or hip pain, pain from a workout at the gym. I want you to try. Go to ReliefFactor.com. If it doesn't work, you notify them after 3 weeks, and you're out $20. But if it does, consider what life could be like. Could be like pain-free. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384 for Relief Factor.
Mike Gallagher.
Yeah, hi, Mike. You know, AOC said she needs to have some kind of therapy for what happened to her on January 6th. Now, I understand if she was from Nebraska or Iowa and she never saw a crowd like this and never saw a knife or a gun, but she's from the Bronx, for goodness sake. She's from Queens. I mean, this happens every day she walks down the street in her neighborhood. I'm from there. I know. Listen to my accent. I know what it's like over there. So tell me something. She's going to go there because I think she's nuts, to tell you the truth.
Yes, I've read Michael Savage's book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, and he nailed it. Everything in that book describes the typical liberal.
You know, it's pretty fascinating to go through this article, and I urge you to read it at MikeOnline.com. Over 50% of liberal white women under 30 have a mental health issue. Are we worried yet? And it's fascinating to watch the author sort of go through this exploration by pointing out at the beginning of the article, it's kind of a cheap shot to take the adherence of an ideology and equate that ideology to mental illness. But what if it's true? And again, conservatives, according to the Pew Research study, which examined white liberals, moderates, and conservatives, men and women, conservatives are far less likely to be diagnosed with mental health issues than those who identify as either liberal or even very liberal. Kristen, let's start with you. Hey, Kristen, thanks for calling. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing really good.
Good. What do you make of this Pew Research study and the analysis from this writer at Evie Magazine?
I have come to the conclusion that the left has been it's a mental illness for the last 4 or 5 years. Not only that, but as a woman, I interact with these women on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And from my own personal experience, it's to the point now where I can almost physically just look at someone and tell beforehand what side of the party lines they identify with. And that's the way they look, the way they carry themselves.
Well, here's a tell. What about people? Let me ask you this, Kristen. I hate to do this because I don't want to embarrass people. But have you seen people driving a car by themselves with the windows closed, wearing a mask?
All the time.
Now, I see those people all the time, too. And I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm trying to be diplomatic. Are those people mentally ill? Or how do you, is that what you mean when you say I see people all the time who you could tell their ideology? And is that a mental illness? Is that an ideology? Why would somebody... Go ahead.
I believe that you have to... You can't just take one instance and judging someone. It's more like it's how they carry themselves, how they speak. I mean, if we were to watch these people get out of their cars and see what they do next, how they react, I think then
yeah.
You could come to a better conclusion.
Maybe so.
But definitely, it's definitely a signal that something's probably not right there.
Something might be a little bit off. If you're sitting by yourself in a car so terrified of COVID, and this is what the left has done, and the media has done that, but we know that. They've always done that. If it bleeds, it leads. They like to exploit bad news. It's always, watch ABC at night or NBC, CBS. It's bad news after bad news after bad news. All right, we get it. But does that profoundly impact people to the extent that they're now, a mental illness has really been sort of, has sort of been exposed here. This has played right into people's fears and the need to be told what to do and just being compliant and sort of like sheep. Is there something to this Pew Research study that suggests that the left has a mental health challenge that those of us who are right of center do not? Dan, welcome. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. Tell me what you think of this study. Is it right?
So I think the study is pretty accurate, and here's why. So there is a mental function difference between people that remain liberal and dreamer in their mentality and people that ascribe to a logical, more rational center of thought as they progress through their age and life into adulthood. The reason why I believe that the PU study is accurate is because these people that are liberal-minded, they are not well-equipped for when reality of the world sets in.
Interesting.
Conservative or right-leaning people are more logical and can accept the fact that it's not all sunshine and rainbows, and it's probably never going to be.
Right, but we also tend to have the attitude that we're sufficient, we're self-sufficient. It's the old adage about pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, figuring it out yourself, not have, you know, the nanny state government tell you how to live your life. I know I play this too many times, but I can't stop.
COVID is God's gift to the left.
But it also could be tapping into a deep mental illness that a lot of Americans have. Is that unfair? 800-655-MIKE.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
You're the guy who made the founding fathers black and Hispanic. I don't think you have to apologize to Twitter. This is why people hate Democrats. At some point, people are going to have to stand up to these bullies, because that's what it is. It's just bullying. It's, I can make you crawl like a dog, and I enjoy it. I mean, he's a Latino making a Latino movie with a Latino cast. Not good enough.
In the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike.
Isn't Bill Maher right on all of that? It goes to me to the COVID restrictions. They're not happy until you are crawling like a dog. You got to be cowering in fear. And there's Bill Maher defending Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's the creative force behind the musical Hamilton, which is all about the founding fathers and the birth of our nation. And all of the actors are black. And the only person that's white is King George. They want persons of color for all the other roles. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Aaron Burr. All of them are black and Hispanic. That's the job requirement. You're not allowed to be white and play Alexander Hamilton in the show Hamilton. White people need not apply, need not audition. And now they're on Lin-Manuel Miranda's back because there weren't black Latinos in his latest movie, In the Heights? It's never enough for these people. And as Bill Maher said, they're bullies. That's why we have all these grassroots organizations popping up. Portions of our show are brought to you by Job Creators Network. So grateful for this great organization fighting for small business owners. Small business owners are being crushed by President Biden continuing to push for massive tax increases, the infrastructure plan, so much more. Job Creators Network is working hard to fight back. They're also looking for a bunch of people to join their small business advocacy and advisor program. They'll train you with op-eds. They'll show you how to appear on radio, TV in your community. If you own a business, you want to join the fight, go to joinjcn.com. Learn all about Job Creators Network. They're looking for a few good men and women to join their growing army of small business leaders and advocates. You'll be real, real gratified to get to work with people like Alfredo Ortiz, Elaine Parker, and so many more. Job Creators Network. Go to joinjcn.com. They need you. America needs you. We need you. Joinjcn.com. Again, you're not needed if you're a white actor and you want to audition for Hamilton. Got to be black to play George Washington. Larry wants to chime in on the diversity behind Hamilton. Hey, Larry.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
My
thing was when you mentioned about the anxiety and people can't work because of George Floyd from the Hamilton cast. I think this is part of a way to claim Social Security disability, because that will outlast unemployment benefits, because acting's a hard life. And if you can get the disability, you can carry on well beyond your acting years. And if you have children under 18, you'll get additional money for them.
Could be. Maybe you're onto something, Larry. And incidentally, it's not I don't know anybody from the Hamilton cast, and I don't want to get into names and specifics, but there, I know of at least one actor and others who feel that they're not in a safe space anymore after George Floyd's death. And then another actor quit because of a producer who's a Broadway producer, and Broadway isn't standing out. I don't know. I can't keep up. I just got a funny meme sent to me on the MyPillow text line showing a guy. the meme, the headline says, "For the people who wear a mask alone in their car, the new outdoor seatbelt is available." And it shows a guy with just a seatbelt walking around in a park with a seatbelt wrapped around his waist and his shoulder. I mean, and thanks for that meme. The person who sent it said, "Love you, love your show. You keep me sane during these insane times. God bless." Well, we need to do that for each other. We really do. I believe with all of my heart there's a lot of gaslighting going on. They're trying to make us feel like we're the crazy ones. I want to play a monologue from Tucker Carlson's show from Friday night. It's a little long, but I want you to hear every word of it. I want you to hear Tucker Carlson and what he said about why millions of Americans do not trust the stated outcome of the 2020 presidential election. This came up a lot at CPAC. Trump himself continues to say that he believes that he was robbed during the election, that the election was rigged. So Tucker Carlson quoted a guy who is a podcaster and a historian, a person by the name of Daryl Cooper, and this was powerful, powerful stuff. I want to share it with you and get your take on it.
Yesterday, an historian and podcaster called Daryl Cooper wrote a remarkable series of tweets in which he tried to explain why so many Trump voters believe the last election was rigged. Really smart. He crystallized it. We'd like to read some of it now. Quote, "Here are the facts, actual confirmed facts that shape the perspective of Trump voters. The FBI spied on the 2016 Trump campaign using evidence manufactured by the Clinton campaign. We now know that all involved knew it was fake from day one. The voters this was aimed at are Tea Party people, the type who give their kids a pocket constitution for their birthday and have founding fathers' memes in their bios. The intel community spying on a presidential campaign using fake evidence, including forged documents, is a big deal to them. Trump supporters know the collusion case front and back. They went from worrying the collusion must be real to suspecting it might be fake to realizing it was a scam. And then watched as every institution, the intel agencies, the press, Congress, academia, gaslit them for another year. Worse, collusion was used to scare away good people from working in the Trump administration. They knew their entire lives would be investigated. Many quit because they were being bankrupted by legal fees. The DOJ, the press, and the government destroyed lives and actively subverted an elected administration. This is where people whose political identity was largely defined by a naive belief in what they learned in civics class began to see the outline of a regime that had crossed all institutional boundaries. That regime stepped out of the shadows to unite against an interloper, Donald Trump. A lot of Trump supporters understand this regime is not partisan. They know that the same institutions would have taken opposite sides if it was a Tulsi Gabbard versus Jeb Bush election. It's hard to describe to people on the left how shocking and disillusioning this was for conservatives, people who encourage their sons to enlist in the army and hate those who don't stand for the anthem. They could have managed the shock if it only involved the government. But the behavior of the corporate press is what really radicalized them. They hate journalists more than they hate any politician or government official because they feel most betrayed by them. The idea that the press is driven by ratings and sensationalism became untenable. If that were true, they'd be all over the Epstein story. But they're not. The corporate press is the propaganda arm of the regime. Nothing anyone says will ever make them unsee that, period. This is profoundly disorienting. Many Trump voters don't know for certain whether ballots were faked in November 2020, but they know for absolute certain that the press, the FBI, and the rest would lie to them if they were. They watched the press behave like animals for 4 years. Tens of millions of people will always see Brett Kavanaugh as a gang rapist based on nothing because of CNN. And CNN seems proud of that. CNN led a lynch mob against a high school kid. They cheered on a summer of riots. Republicans always claimed the media had liberal bias, but they still thought the press would admit the truth if they were cornered. Huh. It's a very different thing to watch the media invent stories out of whole cloth in order to destroy regular people's lives and spark mass violence. Time magazine has told us that during the 2020 riots, there were weekly conference calls involving, among others, leaders of the protests, the local officials who refused to stop them, and media people who framed them for political effect. In Ukraine, we call that a color revolution. Throughout the summer, Democratic governors took advantage of COVID to change voting procedures. It wasn't just the mail-in ballots. They lowered signature matching standards and a lot else. Then there was Hunter Biden's laptop. Big tech ran a full-on censorship campaign against a major newspaper to protect a political candidate. Period. Everyone knows it. All the tech companies now admit it was a mistake, but the election's over, so who cares? It goes without saying that if the New York Times had Don Jr.'s laptop, which is full of pictures of him smoking crack and engaging in group sex with lots of lurid family drama, emails describing direct corruption, the New York Times would not have been banned. Think back. Stories about Trump being urinated on by Russian prostitutes and blackmailed by Putin were promoted as fact when the only paid for by his opposition and disavowed by its source. The New York Post was banned for reporting on true information. The reaction of Trump people to all of this was not, no fair. That's how they felt about, say, Romney's Binders of Women story in 2012. This is different. Now they see correctly that every institution is captured by people who will use any means to exclude them from the political process. And yet they still showed up in record numbers to vote. Trump got 13 million more votes than he did in 2016. He got 10 million more than Clinton got. As election night dragged on, his voters allowed themselves some hope. But when the four critical swing states, and only those states, went dark at midnight, they knew. Over the ensuing weeks, they got shuffled around by grifters and media scam artists selling them conspiracy theories. They latched on to one, then another, increasingly absurd theories. They tried to put a concrete name on something very real. Media and tech did everything to make things worse. Everything about the election was strange, the changes to procedure, unprecedented mail-in voting, the delays, etc. But rather than admit that and make everything transparent, they banned discussion of it, even in direct messages. Everyone knows that, just as Don Jr.'s laptop would have been the story of the century. If everything about this election dispute was the same except the parties were reversed, suspicions about the outcome would have been taken very seriously. See 2016 for proof. They understand why courts refuse to take the election case. What judge will stick his neck out for Donald Trump, knowing that he'll be destroyed in the media as a violent mob burns down his house? It is a fact, according to Time magazine, that mass riots were planned in cities across the country if Trump won. Sure, they were protests, but they were planned by the same people as during the summer, and everyone knows what that would have meant. Judges have families, too. Forget the ballot conspiracies. It's a fact that governors used COVID to unconstitutionally alter election procedures, something the Constitution states that only legislatures can do, to help Biden make up for a massive enthusiasm gap by gaming the mail-in ballot system. They knew it was unconstitutional when they did it. It's right there in plain English, in the Constitution. But they also knew the cases wouldn't see court until after election. What judge is going to toss millions of ballots because a governor broke the rules? The threat of mass riots wasn't implied, it was direct. And he goes on. In the end, Darrell Cooper writes, not every theory about election fraud is true, but Trump's voters, quote, are absolutely right that their government is monopolized by a regime that believes they are beneath representation and will observe no limits to keep them getting it. End quote. That is true, and every honest person knows it.
Wow. Pretty powerful commentary. No wonder this guy's the number one rated cable news show on television, and they're doing everything they can to stop him. Let's get your reaction to it. Tucker Carlson reading a podcast and historian named Daryl Cooper on his show Friday night about why so many millions of Americans are convinced that something untoward happened in November of 2020. 800-655-MIKE. We're in the ReliefFactor.com studios. 800-655-MIKE.
Support law enforcement? We do too. Gallagher'sHeroes.org.
Hey, Mike, don't be mad or sad. Just be glad. Like all of your audience, you're sane, so don't let your happiness wane.
Hey, Mike, I'm one of those people that watched that election that one night and saw how Trump was so far ahead. And then after midnight, things started to change. The blackouts, the miscounts, you know, not giving Trump the credit in Florida. And the next morning I woke up, Biden was way ahead.
That's the analysis, or that's the commentary you just heard. Tucker Carlson reading a series of tweets posted by a guy who tried to explain why so many Americans believe the election was rigged. Now, I'm always drawn to callers who disagree with me because I like good, healthy, vigorous debate. Let's welcome Troy into the show. Hey, Troy, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing today?
Great, great. Give me your reaction to what you heard from Tucker Carlson reading that series of tweets from the podcaster.
I think he's comparing A to F, D to Z. I think he's tying all kinds of stuff together that doesn't go together. I think a competent person could negate almost every point he made one by one.
All right, well, let's do a one by one. Here, let me just, because I've got the verbatim in front of me, refute that everything we saw about the election was strange, changes to procedure, unprecedented mail-in voting, delays, etc. In fact, you're in Houston, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's start with Houston, Harris County. 24-hour voting that the Harris County Democrat-run officials, legislators did without the state, without any state oversight whatsoever. Is that refutable? Do you disagree with that?
Wait a minute. I just happen to be good friends with a few Texas representatives and senators.
Yeah.
They did not, I repeat, did not break the law. And the reason Texas...
Why did you just change the subject? I'm asking you... Constitutionally, the argument is the Constitution mandates that state legislatures need to change election procedures. And where you live, Democrats change the election procedure to offer 24-hour voting, which, again, is the argument. Now, you could make the argument, Troy, that it is constitutional, and that's okay. But don't you see why people who know that about your community are suspicious?
I think they were suspicious. Before the election ever happened, I think Trump got the suspicion going in 16 when he said if he didn't win, it was due to it being rigged. I think people have bought on to this fallacy bigger than anything.
Well, but you just admitted it's not. Did you guys in Harris County, did you guys institute 24-hour voting in Harris County?
Yes, we did. And it was not illegal, and it was not against the Constitution.
Constitution? Where the Constitution, Article 1, Section 4, specifically states the states have to mandate election procedures?
But wait a minute. This Constitution.
You broke up a little bit. Repeat what you just said, because we lost your connection there. Go ahead. Say that again.
They did it within the Texas Constitution.
No, they didn't. I mean, I'm sorry, but, and again, and let's, final point, what judge wants to stick his or her neck out and rule in favor of election fraud, considering what the mob is able of doing? Do you refute that too?
I surely hope that incorrect, because otherwise, is a judge scared to convict somebody of capital murder because his family?
All right. So you believe the judges just would be willing to overturn the election and it would be okay? All right, Troy, we're going to have to agree to disagree, but I'm glad you called. And again, you could disagree with that commentary. And I don't know, maybe the election was completely legitimate. I don't know. But if it wasn't, I don't know that we're ever going to know. But we ought to try to find out. Have a great day. Be safe. Keep fighting the good fight. I'm Mike Gallagher. God bless America.